2 and we were heading toward the fall in Genesis 3, the fall from innocence of Adam and Eve. So remember this verse. This has been one of these critical key verses for Nidhi and I in our marriage. Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Another verse that has been very helpful for us in our marriage, keeping Christ at the center, keeping the Word of God at the center of our life, is found here in Ephesians 4. Nidhi loves Ephesians. She loves the prayer in Ephesians 3. I love that too. But Ephesians 4 is something that we have worked very hard to practice in our life, and it's this, verse 26. "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold." That's critical for us as a background to our whole story of 30 years, where we try very hard not to anger each other. I made a joke earlier, just a kidding remark about the Lord being our referee, but I still honestly can look at holding one hand at the times where Nidhi and I have ever had a disagreement that is sharp. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that, because we respect each other and love each other, and usually God does gives us a standing knee count, you know, makes us go to our corners. And then we feel conviction and we come back together and pray and love one another. Let me give you one more thing out of Ephesians 5. I'll open our time in prayer. But again, this is very personal to me, because I don't normally share personal stories with you, but I have some things written out that I think will be blessings to you in reference to our wonderful 30 years of marriage. Here, Ephesians 5, verse 22 says this, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, in which he is the Savior. Now, if the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." Okay, so the admonition to wives, but it doesn't get any easier. Listen to what the Word of God says to husbands. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the Word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, who are all members of his body. For this reason," back in Genesis now, "for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church," Paul says. "However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Strong admonition for husbands there, to do the one thing that is so difficult for them to do at times, which is to love their wives. And strong words for wives. The one thing that is so difficult for wives to do at times, to submit to their husbands in everything. And I'll break this open in the next few weeks, because I want to stay here on this topic of marriage. But we were in Genesis with 2, and we can see how from the beginning of the Scripture, the beginning of the Word of God, even to the New Testament times and the letters, that this concept of being bound together as one is important to God. For us to have that right understanding about all of these things. So let's leave out with bow your heads with me and pray. Father in heaven, we do ask that you would enrich us today by your precious word. Help us to see ourselves in light of it. Help us to see the encouragement we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give us more of your Spirit this day, we pray. So today, many of us celebrate Valentine's Day with our beloveds. And as I said before, it's a very special day for me because it's our 30th, and God has blessed me with a lovely wife, my beloved, Lydia, and 5 daughters and 1 son. And yeah, we were persistent. I was persistent. I wanted a son. And I think to myself that had we had the son right off the bat, how many daughters would we have had? Or if we had a daughter and a son, maybe we would have stopped. But God saw fit to bring 6 into the world through us. And I'm very thankful for each one of my daughters, Kristen, Deborah, Carissa, Noelle, and Elizabeth, and then our son, Benjamin. And then we also, our grandparents, for these 2 lovely little rambunctious boys. So God gives all the boys to the next generation, I guess. But we have 2 grandsons in Hannah and Casey. So we really can say that our cup runs over. Our quiver of arrows is full. We're ready to strike the enemy that God has given us many arrows to shoot at our enemies. And the Lord's providence, I can think that the Lord not only gave me a marriage partner, but he gave me a ministry partner in our journey together, this journey of life. And so I am honored and humbled and happy to be Lydia's husband. If the Lord were to give me another 30 years with her, I pray that I might age as gracefully as she has, with all the grace that's freely given to us in the Lord. So thank you, Lydia, for being an example to me. And to our kids. And to our grandkids. And I hope to the congregation here. Here, please. Well, I know I had to write out a manuscript today because I was all my thoughts if I was in an outline. Reflecting upon our marriage then, reflecting upon this partnership in marriage recently, I thought to myself, well, what has made our marriage strong enough to survive 30 years of wear and tear on the fabric of wedded bliss? See, there's those 2 words, right? Those famous 2 words, wedded bliss. Well, I would say that the first thing that set us straight, even before we were ever married, was recognition of the fact that we believe that marriage is not a fairy tale. Marriage is not a fairy tale. Sorry, girls, if you believe that marriage is, but it is not a fairy tale. Happily ever after doesn't just happen because Prince Charming shows up. He thins out the competition with several kissing tryouts, right? He gives the final rose to Destiny's winner or victim, depending on your perspective. And then he sweeps you off your feet into his castle where you are safe and secure with endless provisions forever and ever, world without end. That's not real marriage. Marriage is not a fairy tale. Your husband is not your sugar daddy. Your husband is not your savior. He is your spouse, not your second in command. The reverse is also true. When we think about wedded bliss, for you young fellas out there, listen up. Wedded bliss isn't marrying a girl who looks like the model off of this week's magazine cover in the grocery store stands, that jumps off those pages wearing your favorite team jersey and at your beck and call in an instant to perform all of her marital duties like a highly paid, well-trained athlete for pennies on the dollar. All the while you're stuffing your face watching TV, you're playing video games with your buds, and you're marking out your territory with trash all over the house for her to pick up the next day. Did I get all the metaphors right here? Marriage is not a fairy tale. Your wife is not your mom. Your wife is not your maid. She is your marriage partner. T-A-R-T-N-E-R. Marriage partner. So marriage isn't this fairy tale. It's not the typical type A or type Z or whatever type male stereotype that we can put to it. It's not that type of fantasy. It is hard work. It takes effort. Just as I said to the teens a moment ago, it takes sacrifice. Loving sacrifice. It takes commitment. Recognition of that is what has helped Nick and I survive the ups and downs of married life and the wear and tear on the fabric of what we would call wedded bliss. So it takes effort, it takes sacrifice, it takes commitment, it takes two in the bond of Christ's love. It takes effort in the bond of Christ's love, number one, because in this universe, you and I know very well that things naturally just fall apart when they're unattended, right? I mean, we've never gone driving down the road and we passed by the farmer's field. I do this on the way to pick up Emmett from preschool, and I see abandoned cars in garage sheds or on the side of the property or out in the farmer field. But you never go by those abandoned cars in those fields and see them get any better day after day. They are all becoming worse and worse and worse because of the natural process of decay. No one is giving it attention. No one's taking it out of the field and bringing it into the garage and seeking to restore it. No one's trying to make it better and improve it. It doesn't just happen. Our universe, when you leave things alone, when you leave things unattended, what happens is the car rusts in the field. And if you leave your spouse alone in the house, if you leave her unattended and don't give that tender, loving care that you ought to give to her husband's love, your wife, she's going to rust. She's going to disintegrate. Your relationship is going to crumble. If your spousal partner, your marriage partner, doesn't put in his or her share of loving effort to make things work in the marriage, it will disintegrate. It takes joint effort. Joint effort. Ladies, it's the same for you. You have to put the same effort, the same tender loving care into the marriage relationship to make it work. Joint effort in the bond of Christ's love to overcome the natural process of rust and disintegration and decay. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. This is all a part of that beautiful marriage relationship. It also takes joint sacrifice. There's the obvious sacrifice of time. Time to get things up and running in the relationship. Everybody knows how much time you have to put in to get the girl, guys, right? You have to put time in to get the girl. You have to sacrifice your time. Ladies, you got to do the same thing for the men. You know what it takes. And those of us who have been in a relationship with someone, think about how much time we spent pursuing the object of our affection. And then once the marriage contract is signed, before the ink is dry, that attention seems to disappear. The same thing, the pursuit is over. It's done. It's a sealed deal. You don't go to the same lengths. There's not a sacrifice of time in the same way. That's just time to get it up. We all know it takes sacrifices in that area. But, you know, real sacrifice. Let me say this by a word of caution. Real sacrifice is more than just taking time or making time to pursue that relationship goal. Real sacrifice involves sacrificing self for the other, and not just keeping time commitments. You with me? I want you to go to sleep, but I don't want you to get angry. Have you? Remember, that's why I read that verse, in your anger, don't sin. Okay, so no shoes thrown. True sacrifice involves sacrificing self for the other, not just keeping time commitments. It opposes one's own self-interest in favor of shared interests in the bond of love. Think again about just the time it takes to maintain it. Not just to start it up. Not to get the ball rolling. But think about the time it takes to maintain that relationship once it's started. Relationships need constant attention, constant maintenance, routine checkups. Just like a car or a house, marriage needs that preventative maintenance through the application of God's Word to run smoothly. You need God's Word. That is the toolkit in God's arsenal, is to use the Scriptures to help you become a better spouse. Be a husband or be a wife. To be a better kid with your parents. God's Word is essential. Sadly, there are too many Christians that would rather replace the entire car itself rather than repair it when the car breaks down. Loving sacrifice slides into selfishness, and we as Christians dare not hold on to the belief that repairing our marriage costs too much. You with me? It doesn't cost too much to repair your marriage. How much did it cost Christ Jesus to redeem us? We are broken people as children of Adam. He sacrificed his self-interest as the Son of Man in favor of the joint interests of the Godhead. And that is such a profound difference between Christ Jesus and our first parent Adam. Think about folks that have struggled through in the past 30 years that have been friends of ours that have decided to replace the other shops. And it grieves my heart because it's not a thing that is pleasant to the husband or the wife. There's regrets. It's not something that's a joy to the Lord. There is forgiveness. There is grace. There is a way through and not just the normal way out. God loves you. God loves all of you. God sent His Son to redeem you, body and soul, and that includes all of the relationships. marriage takes commitment. Loving commitment. Loving commitment on both parts. Think about this. Effort that is one-sided. Sacrifice that is one-sided. All lead down the road to divorce. And commitment that is one-sided has been the death knell of any marriage. That's why even in the church, divorces between Christian spouses are nearly as high as those who know nothing of Christ. Remember, it takes two in the bond of Christ's love to keep your marriage going and growing. Commitment to the other spouse says, I will work with you and not against you in all of the difficulties that we are sure to face up with. That is true sacrificial commitment. You commit to love the person in your marriage vows. You don't commit to love the ideal of marriage when you make those vows. And that has caused great confusion in a lot of folks that have stood at an altar and gotten married, committing to an ideal rather than committing to the person. When the ideal of marriage is assaulted by life's trials, and it surely will be, if you are not committed to your spouse, it's easy to cut and run from the heat of the battle to find comfort in the arms of your ideal. With a capital I. Soon, your spouse will be the enemy. Selfishness will rule, commitment will wane, love will evaporate, an ideal with its capital I will sit as an idol in the temple of your heart. Exactly the place where the devil wants to put every married Christian. Did you know that the devil wants to scuttle every Christian marriage? The devil will not quit attempting to scuttle your marriage, no matter how long you've been married. You have to be committed to the other person. There's another thing about commitment that can't be forgotten when we consider these principles that contribute to a healthy and happy and sometimes a long, or quite long marriage in the Lord. Commitment to Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. He is not only Savior and Lord of individuals involved in the marriage, He is Savior and Lord, listen, of the marriage itself. He is Savior and Lord of the marriage itself. He is the tie that binds a marriage in holy matrimony. He upholds the universe by the power of His Word. How much more does He uphold your marriage in Him? If Christ Jesus is not the center of your marriage, repent. Because He is Lord and Savior of your marriage. Let me say it a slightly different way then. If the husband is not willing, listen fellows, I'm coming to you first. If the husband is not willing to submit to the rule of Christ and refuses to fulfill his God-given role and responsibility in the bond of holy matrimony, the Word of God says, repent. Repent. The same is true for wives. If the wife is not willing to submit to the rule of Christ and refuses to fulfill her God-given role and responsibility and bonds of holy matrimony, the Word of God says very clearly to the wife, repent. For both husband and wife, the prophet Samuel rebuked to Israel's first king, Saul, about the sin of rebelliousness, about the sin of disobedience, stubbornness, the Word of God says. It's appropriate even for us today, as disciples who belong to Christ Jesus, listen to what Samuel said to Saul. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And because of it, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. It had consequences, didn't it? When the word of God is not honored in the life, it carries consequences. When the word of God is not honored by the husband, it carries consequences. When the word of God is not honored by the wife, it carries consequences in the relationship. It takes two in the bond of Christ's love to make a marriage going and growing. Christ, who died for you so that you might live for him, is and will forever be the king of your life and the king of your spouse's life, because he made you one in him in the holy bond of matrimony. I said before, there is forgiveness in Christ for those who are struggling in their efforts in marriage. There's forgiveness for those who are struggling in their sacrificial attitudes toward the other. There is forgiveness for those who are struggling in their commitments to Christ and to the other, the spouse. But forgiveness can only come. It can only be received when the heart is broken and contrite, and the hands lay down its weapons in surrender to Christ. Christ is the center of your marriage. Christ is the center of my marriage today for these 30 years. It takes joint effort, it takes joint sacrifice, it takes joint commitment, and there is forgiveness for those who are struggling. So let me just try to wrap these things up this morning. You are destined to spend eternity with Christ Jesus, your Lord and Savior, if you have been bought with the precious blood of Christ, if you belong to him, if you made that public confession, that I believe that he's my Lord and Savior, that he's forgiven me of my sins, and I'll forever walk with him. But he is the Lord of your marriage if you are married. And if you are excluding him from your marriage, if he's not the center of your marriage, you are on a troublesome path filled with rocks and ditches and cliffs that draw off. Get off that road. Get off that path and come to Christ and say, Lord, forgive me. I went down the wrong path, the wrong way. And I need you. Lord, I need you. We sing it this morning. We sing it, do we believe it? We say it, do we walk it? Christ must be the center of your marriage. And God help us all as we kind of break open this whole topic about marriage. God, help us to see the admonition that He has for us in the Scriptures so that we can be taken out of the farmer's field and put in the garage and the work begin to restore us and make us like new again. Amen?
Amen.
Well, would you stand with me and we'll pray and then we'll sing our benediction song. Gracious Father, we give thanks to you this day for drawing us together in worship. How we pray for those that are missing in our congregation, be it sickness, whatever it is, Lord, we pray that you would visit them where they are right now and let them know that we are thinking of them and praying for them right now. Would your Spirit touch them where they are? Heal their bodies. Strengthen and encourage them and draw them together in worship with us. We pray that you would work in our congregation in a very mighty way. Those who are struggling in their marriage, we pray, Lord, that you would bring them to Christ. Bring them to your Son and His cross to find forgiveness anew as they repent of going down the wrong path and they trust for you to restore them in their relationship with one another. Help us now, Lord, as we leave this place, to have your anointing upon us, that we might be a blessing to others that we need. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.